Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me for this November 18th, 2017 radio broadcast. We call it Satsang, a heart-to-heart communion, a little question and answer, hopefully help you with a subject that is important to you. You never know what will happen by listening to one of these radio programs or watching one of my TV programs that you can see no matter where you are in the world at our website at aspire.org. And if you go to aspire.org, that's aspire.org, and go to media, you will see radio programs and TV programs that are there. They're endless. And we're putting more up next year. Some real interesting ones on Cahil Gibran, I think that you might enjoy as well. So this offering that we give, both radio and TV, of course, you have to know, depends upon your tax-deductible gifts. And I hope that if you find something here that is important to you, something that helps you in the unfoldment of your heart, that you will come and become a sponsor. Come and help us. We need your support. You have no idea how this message helps people, but you know, people don't give because they don't want to be involved or they're afraid or they think they can't afford it or whatever. Everybody can afford exactly what they want and what they want to do. I have seen this endless times in my day. So I'm asking you to be generous. Our mystery donor, who is so kind to us, is going to match every donation you offer. So if you become a sponsor, let's say for $25 a month, he will make that $50. So it's a very, very loving thing that you can do, a very generous thing you can do. And I hope that you will consider it. Go to the website at aspire.org. If you go there, you will see on the main page support. If you click on that, there will be a drop down menu that will come and it will tell you why Aspire. And it will tell you where your donations go and all the information you would ever need to know about what it means to keep this radio and TV program going to help you. Let's talk about self-esteem. What is self-esteem? People have a great deal of difficulty with this subject, basically because we don't know ourselves. People don't like to delve into themselves or see what the mechanism is that's running their entire life. So it makes it very, very difficult to understand the esteem, how we prop it up, how we regard ourselves and the self that we try to regard. And all of this is just deeply important, much more important than you would imagine. So I get all sorts of emails on the subject in varying degrees. So let's take a look at some of them. First one comes from Kathy. I'm never comfortable with myself, no matter what the situation. And lately, I'm not even comfortable with myself alone. I figure I suffer from low self-esteem. Am I correct? And is there anything I can do about it, Kathy? That's a lot. The being uncomfortable socially, I understand this. I find it very difficult at times to feel really, really comfortable with being around a lot of people. It's a very difficult situation because people these days, well, I'm old. I'm really old. And so when I look at people and what they kind of gravitate towards and what they like, it doesn't click with me very well. So I look at it and I go, well, what are we doing here? What can you talk about with people? And when I talk with people, I try to learn something, learn about them, learn about myself, learn about the mechanism that lives within me, how to relate. First of all, Kathy, you have to be able to put aside yourself for the sake of listening to another person and possibly feeling very, what do I want to say, akin to them. Listen to what they have to say and what they're trying to say about themselves, because everyone is talking, basically, even when they're talking about you or something about their life, they're really talking about themselves. And that's all they know how to talk about is themselves. And that's kind of a sad and pathetic thing, but that's exactly what goes on in our work. So let's take a look at what it means, Kathy, to have low self-esteem. You say, I must be suffering from low self-esteem, and you're not even comfortable, you say, even with yourself alone. Is something bothering you about you? What's going on inside of there? It might be important to listen, just to listen. Not to do anything about it, but to listen. And if you listen without the need for there to be right and wrong, good and bad, you're going to find out that, yes, there is an esteem problem. And it typically comes from two areas. One, our genetic disposition, okay? And how our genetics work, how they work inside of our body, how they communicate with our emotionality and our brain. And the other part is, of course, our childhood and how the genetics were trained in childhood to believe about you, what you were taught to believe about yourself. Who are you? What are you? Now, I want you to go and be very open-minded here for me, because if you can be open-minded, you will see the bigger picture. Low self-esteem, high self-esteem. Everybody has esteem issues. I don't think they're low, and I don't think they're high. I think they're just esteem issues. That's all they are. And in these esteem issues, if you look very deeply, you will start to see that you are trying to love yourself from the outside in. And that is a very serious mistake. I cannot love Greg from Greg. Greg does not have those capacities, that ability. He cannot just love himself. If he does try to love himself, it will be because he has done something in the outer that makes his pride swell. And if he's trying to make his pride swell up, then it must be something very gratifying and emotionally, shall we say, comforting to him. May make him feel better then. If he tries to love himself from those premises, he's going to have tremendous problems with his karma. He's going to have tremendous problems with his life. He's going to set into motion the cogs and the wheels for self-hatred eventually. I want you to remember this little law, Kathy. What goes up must come down. So, if your esteem goes up because you think you're very proud of something you've done or have or what people have said about you, whatever, believe me, that's going to go down eventually. Trying to keep up with self-esteem and all the demands that the ego needs to feel good about itself is the cause of our mischief. This mischief never ends. It goes on and on and on and on and never ends. I hope you're hearing me. It never ends. So if you are unwise, you will try to do many things that pleasure your ego, that you think will compensate for how badly you feel about yourself, even when you're alone. That won't work. That will not bring you insight. That will not bring you love. That will not bring you anything meaningful. It won't work. You've got to begin to see where your esteem issues begin and end. when you don't feel good about who and what you are, it isn't because you're bad or evil. It's simply because you have forgotten the essence of who you are, or really of what you are. I always say to my students, you're not a who, you're an is. This is love. This is an entity that is totally different than the one you're looking at when you gaze into the mirror and see your human body. There's so much more to you than just your human body. So begin to see the essence of you. You have to begin a spiritual journey. It is the only thing that truly matters. Don't you want to know why you're here? How you got here? What the makeup of your entire life is? What is meaningful to you? Don't you want to see the entire big picture of your life? You won't see it by hating yourself. You won't see it by trying to esteem yourself through objects, people, and things. You must find it in your heart. And that's what a true and authentic spiritual practice is. Finding the truth of yourself through love. And then you don't have to do all the upkeep of maintaining an ego through pride that only eventually causes you downfall. I wish you well, Kathy. You really need to work on yourself, and I would love to do it if you... I don't know where you live, but it would be an honor to help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Lisa. You have heard the old adage, Greg, pride goeth before a fall. Is this a part of our esteem issues? ? Lisa. Pride goeth before a fall. You know, in the old days, the only thing people had was pride. When I say the old days, I'm talking about the antiquated kind of social thing that people lived in way back in the 1800s and such. That quote that you gave is dated back to around the 1800s. What is pride? It is the ego's bank account. It's where the ego puts much of its time, effort, and energies in. And the ego loves the whole idea of, doing things that make it better than. We are not here as a competition. I want you to understand that, Lisa. We are not here as a competition. We are not here to compete for other people's affection and then build our whole life around that affection, making us believe that we are good people or that we are better people or that whatever. As long as you live in pride, you will live in the soft fetters of the ego that lure you in through, shall we say, emotional gratification. That would probably be the best word for it, and sustain you in that emotional gratification on and on and on. Now, do you want to live from that? Do you want to live so you do things that make you feel better and then later wear off and then go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing until your whole life is nothing more than just trying to outdo yourself? Is that what it's all about for you? If so, you're going to miss the most beautiful aspects of your life, the most beautiful meanings of your life. What is the meaning of a person's life? Is it what they do? Is it what people say about them? What is it? The meaning of your life is contained in the heart of your being. Nothing is more important than your heart, your spiritual heart. People don't put what should be first in their life. They take what should be first and they make it last. The very last thing. What is the first thing in your life? Money? family, job, kids, whatever. And the last thing, oh, well, what? Probably the whole idea of a spiritual journey isn't even on the list. It probably doesn't even exist at all, Lisa. When your pride goes, then you find out how false our life has been. When we fall, this is a good thing. It isn't punishment, and it isn't about I'm getting my own and all of that stuff. The fall is very good because it means you might be able to come to love, to fall into authentic love, and not what you think is love. To let go of social standards and beliefs and allowing people to make you believe that you are this or you are that or you're a bad person for this or a good person for that. These are traps, ego traps, soft fetters, as Buddha called them. And they get a person to believe that there is a good person here and a bad person there, or they're a good person and that person's bad, or I didn't deserve this and they did that, and all of these complexities that have to do with stupidity. When pride leaves, then you find out who you are. And maybe the fall that people fear so much or think is there is really an elevation, elevating them higher and higher, and giving them a sense of what is going on in this world and the meaning of life in this world. I watch people day in and day out, trying to help them understand the nature of their life, the nature of their being. It's a beautiful nature. It isn't ugly. It doesn't need to be supported by fear and hate and anger. Not at all. This beautiful nature that they have has been ignored for the sake of pride. Pride, this bank account of what I call the ego, is simply there to deter them, to make them believe that this is right and this is wrong and they shouldn't have done this and they should have done that. They live in a falsehood that doesn't help them at all with the nature of love. So they miss their entire life for what? You want people to say things about you that are always good? You want them to regard you as special, unique, better than? Of course you do. Everybody does. But what does it mean in the end? How did it add to your awakening? You think, oh, well, I'll get a better place in heaven, or I'll be rewarded later in some way. No, you won't. And no, it doesn't. And that's not the point of it all. And that's the problem. We make up stories. Stories about heaven and hell, right and wrong, good and bad. We make up stories. These stories are ridiculous. And it's really interesting how these stories fit into the plan of the ego to sustain itself as a life cause in our daily living. This is what we do, this is the way we are, and we don't want to change it. So, pride goeth before a fall. Maybe the false, the untrue, needs to go before you will ever be able to see the meaning of what it is to sustain love in your life, because it is about love. Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu never talk about love in accordance with anything that is prideful. Jesus did not say, blessed are the prideful. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Humility is the key. And if you don't have humility in the beginning of your life and your practice, then all you have is arrogance. This arrogance undermines everything we do. I know people who are very proud of themselves. They have no humility. They have no kindness in their heart. They have nothing because they haven't discovered their heart. I want you to remember something, Lisa, and I'll leave you with this. We're here to discover the heart and not ramp up the ego. It's not what we're here to do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Interesting. The last question is from Linda. All women today. If I hang around people who are popular or better than I am, do you think, Greg, it rubs off on me? I don't know what else to do. I feel so low. Linda. Well, Linda, you need to go shopping, you know. You probably need to go and get a new dress or some new makeup or a whole new look, as women like to say. No, this isn't going to help you. This isn't going to change anything, I guarantee you. The whole idea of hanging around people who you think are better than you and associate with them in a way that other people will say, oh, well, she belongs to the in crowd. This is so pedestrian. I don't know what it takes, really, to be honest with you, to get a person to start going inward, to take that inward step. I for every person, it's different, but I can tell you generally what it is. And Linda, it's called futility. Until you have come to the end of your rope with yourself, until you're done with everything that you're doing, until you're finished with all of your mishigosh and your mischief, you're going to be looking for people to rub off on you and make you maybe a better person than you believe you are. And this is just dynamite. This is just a terrible thing to do to yourself. I have no words for it other than it's just devastating. And if you don't find out the nature of your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart, but your authentic heart, you're never going to know the meaning of anything that is important in your life. I can't make you do that. Nobody can. You've got to come to the point where you hit the futile place, where you can't go up, you can't go down, you can't go in, you can't even go out. You're just feeling futile. In that futility, if you get to that place, you will find love. Believe it or not, you will find love. But you really have to work at it. You have to sustain your attentions and your focus on something greater than your beliefs, and you have to be willing to let love live you, as I always say. But it has to be real love. Can't be the love of, you know, vanity, pride, ego. You have to want to go into the search for love. This is something that very few people are interested in. It always surprises me. I'm sorry. My naivete and stupidity meet and they formulate my pedestrian mentality here, but I'm always surprised that you don't want to be independent of culture, society. You have to want that first. You have to look at all of this futility and this hatred in this world, and you got to look at it and go, you know, I don't want to be a part of this any longer. No more. I am done with it. And if that is true, and you can do that, which anyone can, then you can start to make some specific changes in areas that really, really do help you. But until then, what have you got? You've got nothing. You've got only the fear and the hate of this culture to ruminate inside of you and become the posture and character of your own thinking. Hopefully you won't do that. At least I hope you don't. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. You have a wonderful day. Go to the website at aspire.org. Peruse around. There's lots of things there to help you. All of them there, just for you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.